Hello and welcome to the Decibel Abuse Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, no relation to Manuel. And with me, I have...
I spent my Sunday night watching hockey instead of Game of Thrones. I take a little bit of pride in that because, well, there was still plenty of blood to be shown on the ice.
And...
This is fucking bone broth! What the fuck, Robert A. Horse? Motherfucker!
If that's a reference to something, I probably didn't watch it.
And now I'm thinking about it, wow, you really are a stupid horse. And you mentioned it first.
Ah, yes, that stupid horse. if I could have watched that. Unfortunately, I have my nose buried in the grindstone for the week of finals. But I still found time to do this, because it's important to have, you know, consistent scheduling. It drives me nuts when I can't do that. Anyway, this is episode 126. How's everything been going with all y'all?
So far, so good. I'm back to work, which is good for me, because I really needed to get back to work. And thankfully for me, my voice is a little shot. Thankfully for me, the place I work at is a much better place. It's a smaller place with better people who don't try to take advantage of me. Yay. I forgot what that felt like. Yeah. And aside from that, I've just been enjoying watching the fights in playoff hockey, watching the fights in playoff basketball, and trying to avoid catastrophic storms in the area, which we've had for the past couple weekends. Though I kind of got lucky where I live in the city, which, at least I got that. So, yeah. And there was a whole thing about what happened with the water at my house. Apparently some moron plumber turned off the wrong water meter. Ugh.
Ew.
That wasn't fun. But, it's all taken care of now, and, just sort of riding everything out until I fly out to California in May for my stepsister's wedding, which I'm not going to the good part of California, guys. I'm going to, like, devil's asshole California.
Ah, so Redding.
Oh. Yeah. No, not Redding. A town called Atwater.
Wait, isn't that a Twitter profile?
No, that's where all the meth is made.
Wait, then what the hell do we have Florida for?
Apparently everything else. Like, everything else. Especially in Broward County, you fucking assholes.
Ah, yes, the number one douche capital of the city. And that's saying a lot.
Yeah, we are talking about the police there, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay, just checking.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Honestly, had a few days off, which is wishful leaving, because I get to actually do much and actually watch Tsunami at least live for the first time, and I forgot how long. I just didn't tweet because I don't do that shit no more. And of course, hey, I just finished writing episode 10 of my current Isekai written series, which I'm doing right now. Plug. And yeah, that's pretty much it. After Easter candy, discount candy shit.
Oh, fuck, that's right. It's discount chocolate week already. Shit. You gotta find the time, man. I gotta find the fucking time. Anyway, as for me, as I've said, just gearing up for the Hellscape of Finals week. Also, I'm pretty sure I came down with some kind of a cold or something. My throat's fine. The sinuses are very congested. Ah, jeez. At least I'm doing more preventative maintenance, because I remember the last fucking time I had to deal with this shit for, like, goddamn, like, 2.5 weeks. Yeah. But yeah, that's basically about it. Also, wait, was there anything else? Oh yeah, I got out to the movies, I saw Shazam, which was great, and I saw the new Hellboy, which sucked. Why do we keep making sequels to Del Toro things without Del Toro?
I don't know.
It's just not going to work out, Hollywood.
I don't know. Y'all could have just made Hellboy 3, but nah. Y'all just Now y'all did that.
Also Silent Hills, but that's a given.
Oh, yeah, that.
Anyway, yeah, that's pretty much about it for me. So, now to move on to the good stuff. And things are a little bit more interesting this week. So, let's, of course, start off with the new song discussion for the past week. Of course, there will be a playlist down in the description. So, you can follow along with the Majesty, the Trash, and the Just Kind of Okay. Alright, so starting right up at the top here, as of course previously mentioned, that Game of Thrones thing is happening, and of course there's that For the Throne soundtrack album coming out this Friday, and so we have an official single from the release, this being a team up between SZA, The Weeknd, and Travis Scott. It's called Power is Power. I assume it's about people seeking power. I don't know, I'm like four seasons behind. But, I mean, this definitely sounds like someone trying to make a trap-based Game of Thrones kind of song. That beat is all, like, you know, super hollow in that kind of Weeknd sense. I mean, he basically, like, dominates a lot of the song when you really think about it. He handles the chorus and shit. To the point where I'm not even sure if it's, like, necessarily referencing Game of Thrones or if it's just him being all, like, personally tortured AF. The production definitely gets blown out in parts, contrasting the hollowness, you know, in that way that sounds like friggin' Starboy. SZA's great. Travis Scott sounds like he's Travis Scott coded in autotune. I got nothing else. This was just kind of a wash for me.
Okay, reading that, the title shot out the Remembrance Circe quote from the second season, which, I mean, I didn't really not know much of it either, but it's, well... The beat is all feels like an end credits song. It's like if it was a movie, if this song would play, like this would be something the song that plays. Like I don't know, it's just it didn't do that much for me. I mean, The Weeknd is Weeknd. SZA is, you know, it's good. SZA is good. Travis Scott is, well, Travis Scott. Although I was disappointed in Travis Scott because I expect to hear a straight up on that shit. I was kind of joking out. Well, he was like, yeah. I mean, I did hear him go like, yeah, yeah, or some shit like that. But yeah, this is it's whatever. Not too great, not too bad, just very middle of the road.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, moving on from that. Oh, look at that. We got another single from Full of Hell. Good. I need some grind to make me feel like I can power through the week. So, yeah, their newest album, Weeping Choir, still coming out May 17th. Single number two here, and it's called Silmaril, which I'm told is a reference to Tolkien, although I didn't bother to look up the lyrics, and while I do know that Silmaril is very much possibly referring to the Silmarillion, which is basically, you know, the giant lore text that is basically the earliest, you know, origin for everything in that whole timeline, I really don't know what else there is to say in that regard. I mean, the song itself is, you know, it's good. It's that, you know, grindy as hell, rapid double kicks. The drum is playing more of a standard, like, rhythm, you know, kind of bounces back and forth between, you know, the usual sticking pattern and the blast beats and whatnot. There's, like, that slow, kind of middling D-beat thing that kind of sounds like stuff they were doing on Trumpeting Ecstasy. Vocals go pretty, you know, high and low. It's heavy, certainly. Still not sure what it has to do with Lord of the Rings.
Well, this is some dang fine pit-punch-and-grind goodness right here. And it's a brisk 75 seconds. It makes for a good, quick workout jam if there ever was. I'm impressed. I like it. I would like more, please.
Well, speaking of more, remember around, not this time, but around last summer or so, when the interweb started paying a lot of attention to this viral sort of noise grind black metal act called Neckbeard Death Camp?
Yes.
Who gained a lot of attention with their debut release, White Nationalism is for Basement Dwelling Losers. A band after my own heart.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch it. Could you repeat that again, just a little bit slower? That way we can all hear it clearly.
Oh, right, of course. The title of their album was White Nationalism is for Basement Dwelling Losers.
That's what I thought it was called. Okay.
Well, things have been picking up since then. You know, a handful of festival appearances. They got a tour lined up for later this year. They signed to Prosthetic Records, which, you know, was always a good sign. And they even have a new full-length, you know, in the works coming out May 24th, titled So Much for the Tolerance Left. Just let that warm your soul. And, of course, we have, well, technically we had two singles, but I didn't get around to putting the second one here. So we got the lead-off track here, Where Are the Cargo Pockets for Lanza Extra Mags? All caps, because, of course. And, yeah, this is pretty much a really beefy slab of grindy, noisy black metal. The production obviously isn't as crisp as something as, like, you know, Full of Hell. Everything just hits you full force like a freight train. The instruments blending into this just, like, murky tornado of noise, with the vocals getting lost within everything. There's maybe mild, slower moments in there, but it's still pretty much relentlessly on the grind. And of course, we can only assume the lyrics are, you know, taking aim at the kind of assholes that, I don't know, defend, you know, the existence of college debt. Sorry, amazing how we get, how one policy proposal gives us, like, three takes that all get ratioed to hell in the same day. That's like Twitter Christmas, man. But that's just a tangent. I of course, am completely here for this.
Yes. I am here for this as well. I'm all for glorious, finely melted irony in the form of extreme grind, black metal, hybrid music. And just for the record, Nazis and white nationalists don't get to have black metal. Accept this and carry on. It ain't yours to take.
Indeed. Anyway, moving on from that to... Oh, hey, look at that. Once again, it's the obligatory health slot. So, yeah, health is coming back in the building. So let's see who their guest this time is. Let me check my notes here. Oh, it looks like this time they've teamed up with Ghost Maine, who I'm told is a very great Maine. Yeah, so obviously the album wasn't enough. They're still in collab mode. Seriously, can we maybe like get, you know, an album with all these collabs or something? I'd pay for a vinyl of that. But
do like an EP thing like IDK did. I don't know, like do shit like that. Like Health
Friends.
Yeah, do that.
All right, so this track here with Mr. Maine is called Judgment Night. And the beat manages to ride, first off, like this perfect line between their two styles. It's this low, ominous, you know, kind of bassy, distorted rumbling, like a disturbing night out on the streets. You're not sure whether it'll go super hard or super pretty. And then, of course, you know, it opens with Ghost Maine, you know, ripping straight into his bars, back and forth between the grumbling lows and the wailing highs, and that usual, you know, style of his. There's definitely this funny... There's almost kind of this almost absurd moment in the song. He ends a verse with this deliberately blown out scream, and then literally, like, split second later, the pretty nice sounding health vocals kick in. You know, it's pretty... It feels like a deliberate comedic counterpoint, even though I'm not sure if they intended it that way, but they probably did. And of course, you know, the rest of the beat is punctuated by a lot of clanging steel, bursts of steam. Again, it's this weirdly perfect, you know, center between the two extremes of their styles. So, again, give us an EP of this shit, man. Come on, Health. Or, I don't know, do a full Ghost Maine collab album. That could probably work.
So, the song is definitely hype. Like, also he said that it's definitely hype. And Ghost Maine, he just brought, like, when he goes to, like, his, from his low rumbling voice to his very high, for the we get to his high, it gets so fucking real, like, hot, like, hot damn, man. This is, yeah, man, this is good. I do love to help continue to do these collaborations with, you know, random people. Random people, like, they've been doing, like this is their fifth one so far? That they did, outside the album this year. Like, you got several five collab tracks, right?
I'll have to double check that, like, in the site or something.
Yeah, Because when they did, because they're writing, like, what who did before, like, they missed, you know, JP Mafia, Sakamami, U-Code, and Perpetrator? This is what it says on the, you know, on the article.
Yeah, I got, like I said, I got to verify that.
All right.
But, anyway, moving on from that, since we're on the subject of two acts that have been featured in the Adult Swim Singles program, let's talk about this past week's entry in the Adult Swim Singles program. Someone that's actually released an EP through Adult Swim within the past couple of years. That being the producer Darko, or I guess Dark Zero, I'm not sure exactly how the pronunciation is. But yeah, that guy. So they released a single called City of Tears. And you know what? It's pretty good. It opens up with this kind of crystalline synth and ambient piano, you know, kind of warming things up as these low-end synths and vocal effects kind of build up that as well. And then in comes in, you know, the kind of mainstream-ish sounding like trance stuff with the skittering synth and, you know, drum patterns reinforcing all of that rhythm. The way it all comes together, it almost kind of reminds me of like the electronic music that was popular like when I was in middle school. You know, way before, you know, the EDM of now decided to take over everything. Of course, there's lots of clap snare and even chipmunk vocal effects. It's a grooving ass good time, yo.
Yeah, for some reason, this song reminds me of any score you hear from any, you know, action anime, whether it be past or present. Like, I keep feeling, this reminds me of something that I watched either this season or previously, but we get this a dope track.
Mm-hmm, the dopest. And now we move on to the next track here, and, oh hey, look at that, there's a name I haven't seen in a long time. And by long, I mean like, what, 3 years ago? I think it was three years ago. Yeah, Mr. Tycho. It appears they've got a new album.
Man.
Yeah, it appears he's got a new album sometime this year. We're not entirely sure. We just know that a new album is down the pipeline. And so to kick things off here, we have the new single Easy, which it certainly is easy on the ears, I will say. It's kind of these simple, like, bleeping rhythms in the intro, keyboards building on top of that with a more detailed melody, this kind of grooving bass line, which, you know, drives a lot of the song, can't forget that. The nice sounding auto-tuned vocals leading into some of the synth build-ups, and it more or less repeats like a lot of those motifs pretty much throughout the whole song. I kind of wish it was a little longer just so that vibe can actually settle in. It's only really about like, what, 3-4 minutes of music? It's still, you know, solid enough. It's the usual old reliable from Mr. Tycho.
I gotta say, this track is pretty good. It's pretty good. Like I have this and back to his last album, it popped. And like I say, it got some interesting sounds that I dig, and right here, it got some very, you know, very simpy, very funky sounds that it got. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I definitely dig that shit.
This is good. This is chill. This makes me want that full album very soon. So, yes, soon, please, very soon.
Yes. Yes. Now, since HBO seems to be a dominating topic within the discourse these past couple weeks, what, you know, with Game of Thrones on its final season, John Oliver becoming friends with those weird Japanese costume mascots that are basically Japanese jackass?
Well, that's just Shiton, the rogue mascots.
Right, of course. I mean, are you sure we can't have, you know, John Oliver mascot exploding through a table?
We're trying to make that happen because, I think we would all want that to happen. Hopefully they'll follow through with that sometime this season. Heck, I even may resubscribe to HBO now just to watch that, you know, when it happens. So don't let me down, John Oliver.
Of course. Anyway, with all that happening, why not talk about something else that's germane to the territory of HBO, at least last I heard, and that's Sesame Street. That's weird, yeah. Right?
Yeah, that happened a while ago. It's still weird, and it's even weirder when you see that weird bit of synergy in that one video of the two guys from Game of Thrones and Elmo in the world of Game of Thrones.
Shit, it's really need to catch up now. Imagine Elmo winning the Game of Thrones.
It's weird.
But what's even weirder, you know, of course, something that they do quite recently a lot of the time is recruiting special celebrity, you know, appearances for, like, videos or songs and whatnot. And apparently this time around, they've written a song about respect and the importance of respect with Common, wait for it, produced by Kate Renata and Bad Bad Not Good.
The combo returns!
Okay.
Tis a strange combination, to be sure, but, I mean, first off, here's hoping Kate Renata and Bad Bad Not Good, you know, get to do some cool things with that HBO money. Yeah, second, I mean,
hope so.
The song is a thing, all right. I'm not really sure how else I'm supposed to comment on it. Someone help me out here. I'm floundering.
I'm confused by this. Like, it's because it's so weird that here. I mean, okay, maybe it ain't worth a comment because like he been doing this shit, but. Well, when he was sort of like doing this shit, but hearing of a song, hearing produced by Kitchen and Bad Bad Not Good on Sesame Street, it's just where they not only reference Game of Thrones, but they reference Westworld, Insecure, just those three shows that I know of. It's just kind of weird, and okay, yeah, the song's topic is, okay, it's cool, give those topics, you know, give respect, learn, you know, give respect, live, you know, do that shit. And so it's a very short, it's a short-ass song. But still a short and sweet song. Like, it gives, like, you know, some lessons on it. Well, lessons on the street and everything. That's what Sesame Street is, you know. You know, you learn, you have fun. You have fun, give a message. Like, it's pretty cool. You know, something that's the opposite of what's going to happen next.
Yeah, it's always fun when, you know, a bunch of famous entities get together to record music about important topics. By the way, hang on. Give me a second. I gotta prepare here. Let's see. Bottle of water. Hey there, Bacardi. I feel like I haven't seen you in a while. Let's see if I can get this pouring action in here. You know, because I don't want to drink straight out of the bottle. How much am I filling up? I don't know how much a shot of this shit is, but you know what? Fuck it. Oh, wow, that's some good shit. Hey, Mark, Alex, you want any of this shit before we move on?
I already had some of my own stuff in preparation for...
All right, your call. More for me, I guess.
I said I need it. Damn.
Don't be ridiculous. You have the whiskey that you stole from my fridge last week.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, I was like, cheap. I was like, cheers, but this ain't nothing to be cheery about.
Okay, I know we're supposed to move on, but I just need one more drink. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Let's do this. We all have to talk about this eventually. Lil Dicky.
Why?
Look, I know it's painful, but there's good news over the hill. We can get through this. Okay, so Lil Dicky, you know, a man famous for advertising condoms on Spotify, as well as being an existing argument for the necessity of condoms, having recorded bullshit songs with famous domestic abusers, and sexual harassers as well. I heard about what happened overseas, Chris Brown. Has decided for some reason that he's in a position to tackle the important issues that are plaguing our planet. Like the actual pollution of the planet itself. And the importance of preserving the Earth from a terrible treatment due to climate change and global warming. He's brought a lot of friends along with him as well. That's right, folks. We are getting a charity single from a bunch of contemporaneously popular, you know, pop artists. because that's what we need. You know, I know we're all about rebooting fucking everything, but why did we need a reboot of We Are the World?
Especially when we had one about that almost a decade. Shit, it's like, wouldn't that other song come out 2011?
Yeah, I think that was. Shit, man, that was like, that was fucking like in the first couple years of like Todd in the Shadows or some shit. Hang on, I need another drink.
Yeah. Oh, and
so this song is called Earth, as you could probably tell. And let's just, the song itself is just, you know, complete and total bullshit. You know, it's the fucking saccharine, you know, little Dickie trying to sound like he cares while, you know, fucking, you know, generic tropical, you know, tribalistic beats and everything. So let's just talk about this video, because that's where the good material lies.
I don't want to. It's stupid and corny.
Oh, but I have some good jokes here. I mean, granted, obvious ones, but still. So let's talk about the stupidity here. So it opens up with a bunch of bullies picking on a kid, trying to dunk him into a trash can, and they just knock it over as our esteemed titular protagonist just walks by. They all talk shit about each other, and, you know, he tells them to pick the garbage up. Obviously, that doesn't happen. And, you know, while this whole exchange, you know, paints images of Earth's pollution, the actual song starts, and the whole thing segues into basically just a bunch of, like, low-budget Illumination-level CG animals and stuff. You know, just going through every single celebrity cameo with dumb jokes and everything. I even screenshotted this, so let's see who the celebrity roll call is here. So we have Justin Bieber as a baboon who shakes his ass in front of you. Ariana Grande as a zebra. Halsey as a lion cub that eats the zebra, I think.
No way.
Zach Brown as a cow. Look, Brendan Urie from Panic at the Disco as a fucking pig. Haley Steinfeld as a fungus. As a skunk.
Okay.
Fucking Snoop Dogg as a giant talking plant.
I'm not surprised.
Kevin Hart playing Kanye West. And I'm Kanye West. A bunch of vultures played by Adam Levine. Accurate.
Fitting.
Shawn Mendes is a rhino. Inaccurate. Charlie Puth as a giraffe. Sia as a kangaroo, which, oh my, Sia, girl, oh my god, you're too good for this. This is beneath you. Miley Cyrus as an elephant who claims to have junk in the trunk. You wish?
No, you don't. I saw that. I saw that. The BMA's dance. That ain't nothing.
Lil Jon as a clam.
He deserves better than this.
Rita Ora as a wolf. Miguel as a fox. I think that was a fox or a squirrel. I don't. No, no, wait. It was a squirrel because he grabbed another squirrel's nuts. And I'm not talking about acorns. Katy Perry as a pony, and not to mention Lil Yachty as HPV, which is appropriate since he always looks like you could catch HPV off of him. Ed Sheeran as...
Oh god, freaking, you're still going.
There's more, trust me. Ed Sheeran as a freaking, what are they called? Koalas? There's also Meghan Trainor, Joel Embiid, Tory Lanez.
Wait. Go back a few names.
Joel Embiid.
As in the basketball player.
I guess.
Why?
Oh, you think that's bad? Wait until you hear which Oscar award winning actor he roped in for an appearance in this video.
Oh, no.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Ugh. And he says the line, "This might be my favorite song ever. it's awesome. And I just have to say, I actually commend you for that performance. It takes Oscar award winning skills to lie through your teeth like that with a straight face.
And I thought you get beat by a bear was Oscar was. But bear was about to get the
Oscar. And then there's a bunch of, like, you know, not pictured cameos from people like John Legend, Psy, Bad Bunny, Chris Wu, the Backstreet Boys, and Lil Dicky himself.
Oh.
This is the movie 43 of music. I'm at least partially convinced that the only reason they're all here is because Lil Dicky has some hardcore dirt on these guys. I will bet money on that.
Oh my. Okay. I'm all for, you know, a strong message considering everything, but two things. One, we already have an Earth Day song. It's by Devin Townsend. It's called Earth Day. This is just corny as all hell, and it only exists just to be some kind of weird flex for this guy. Like, we have failed as a society for letting this happen. We should have put a stop to it after Freaky Friday, but apparently enough people didn't bother trying. God help us all.
Okay, look.
Yikes.
I get the message. I get wanting to make sure that, you know, that we actually, that we don't, you know, eventually die, which even though we will, but fuck. What we want to make the Earth a better, you know, more livable. But shit like this, featuring this guy with this bad animated video that looks like the shit. It looks like the shit you see from the Nut Job, like the Nut Job, or fuck, I don't know, some other.
Oh my god! You had to remind me that movie existed. What the fuck, man?
Hell, this Illumination shit look better than this shit. And, oh, that picture of him hugging the Earth. It is drawings. No. Hell no.
Dude, like, no. I've seen it right now. You do not have a dick as big as the Eiffel Tower so you can fuck the world for 72 hours. Stop it.
And Leo, I get he's doing a good thing because he wants to, you know, do good by the environment, but why? But Clive, but Little Dicky, that'll make it better. Makes it worse. Worse, like, you could have just said donate to the, like, could have said donate to that, or at least, I don't know, shit, I don't know, this song sucks, okay? Damn.
Yeah, this not only deserves not good treatment, this deserves possibly worst song of the year treatment.
The Green New Deal cannot get here soon enough. Please, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, pass that shit as soon as possible so I don't have to listen to any more trash music like this.
I was gonna say, this gets
I the, second this.
Yeah. This gets the not good treatment, this gets the worst song of the year treatment, this gets the double fuck you treatment, the fuck you treatment. Like with the toast, drink like that. Yes, it deserves that shit. This shit is fucking corny, lame, and unfunny. Just like the guy, who fought this shit.
Let me take one more sip of vodka here.
I need something good. I need something like a. Something from a pop princess that, you know, that makes good shit.
Well, hold your horses right there, buddy. Because we got that shit. Yes, folks. Yes, we finally, after however many years it's been since Emotion, have the latest album from Carly Rae Jepsen coming soon to our grasp. It's called Dedicated. It's coming out May 17th. It has all the songs we talked about before. And it also has this opening track here as the latest single called Julian. which I assume has no relation to, like, the two guys named Julian that I know in real life. But yeah, man, time for the Pop Queen to reclaim her throne once again with, you know, this the steady groove of the song, with, like, this kind of sleek, minimal guitar line driving the groove and everything. There's this super warbly, almost kind of ghostly international style, like, beat going on, except, you know, more poppy. The drums, you know, everything coming together. It's all really catchy. It's really tightly groovy to the point of, you know, usual danceability. And, of course, Carly Rae Jepsen sounds great as always, singing about her relationships and what's not. This better be the one after like, freaking 4 or 5 years of "you better not sleep on her" memes. Let's hope that we can get her back into the pop mainstay so we don't have to deal with, like, you know, chain smokers or whatever the hell is dominating the pop charts nowadays. I don't even know.
I can say this. This song makes me smile. It's a damn good pop song. I recommend it. It's pretty good. That's all I got. Just listen to it.
Okay, well, that's all well and good, but I need something good now to, you know, wash the bad garbage he takes out of my mouth. And perhaps something a little more weird, a little creepy, a little electronic, and possibly involving the guy who made Twin Peaks.
Ooh. Ah, yes. Oh, boy, have I been waiting to talk about this one.
Yes.
Speaking of artists that have kept us waiting 4 or 5 years for new material, and speaking of artists who decide to do weird music videos, except for the point where this one actually succeeds, whereas Lil Dicky fucking shit himself all over the... Get calm. This is Happy Robert. Yes, so, it's been about 5 years since a Mr. Flying Lotus dropped his last studio album, You're Dead! ! And he's done quite a lot of shit in the meantime, with various one-off tracks, you know, appearances on this or that TV show, whether it be Eric Andre or that Hannibal Buress show. He released his debut feature full-length film. That happened. And, of course, he's just been getting around town with soundtracking animes and what's not. But, on May 24th, after 5 years of waiting, the man is finally going to drop his much-anticipated new studio album, Flamagra. Which, isn't that, like, the first or second boss you fight in, like, the original Metroid Prime? Oh, that doesn't matter. But yeah, this is gonna be some good shit, and to anticipate things and build hype and whatnot, we have the first single from the album, appropriately titled Fire Is Coming. It's like he's just straight up telling you this shit's gonna be bomb. And I'm sure someone like Mr. DeMarco would know, because he's a lucky bastard who's in a privilege where he gets to hear this shit before any of us does. Sorry, I'm still in the mood right now.
Don't feel too bad. He did have to inform Mr. Melonhead about the whole new Flying Lotus album thing happening, saying, you know, it's coming. Or something like that. I don't know.
They seem to have a contentious relationship on Twitter.
yeah, they kind of do.
But yeah, so let's talk about this Fire Is Coming video. So, of course, it's all the weird imagery. We open up on this seemingly dilapidated apartment building with a bunch of kids in animal costumes running around screaming and fucking shit up. At some point, an alarm blasts through the room as they all gather, you know, sitting on the floor, waiting for a message of some kind. They're all sitting in front of this animal, I assume it's a dog of some kind, as it scratches itself and roars with thunder and lightning surging through its being until it seemingly passes out, but then regains sentience, only to open its mouth wide open and reveal the face of Mr. David Lynch. You see where this is going? You see where this is? Because I don't think you see where this is going. You should probably see where this is going. But yes, as Mr. Lynch comes out, he regales us with an ominous story. He talks about a kid, you know, whose parents are taking care of some things. His dad is cutting some wood, and his mother is trying to take care of some odd gardening issues. The kid, you know, grabs the phone, because he gets a phone call or something. He appears, you know, near his mom and tells her that the call is for her. Apparently the man on the phone wanted to speak to the mother and claims She would know what the call was about. And as this happens, the sky gets darker with a red glow, and a man appears running in the streets, declaring, "Fire is coming! Fire is coming!" And then the video just absorbs in a wave of light as, like, the actual Flying Lotus name appears burst into flames. And as for the actual song itself, well, this is technically an interlude, I would assume. It certainly seems short enough to be one, especially as far as the actual musical component, which basically consists of these like, rambling, like, nonsense bursts of horror-tinged piano, these light, ominous strings, a warbled synth, a mild trap beat with these mild bursts of bass and whatnot. Mostly you get the Lynchian narration, so I assume it'll make sense in context, but still, how great is it that we're getting a new Flying Lotus album before the decade's over, man?
This is definitely going to worth it. Not thinking about it, since it's featured David Lynch, I figured he would do like some spoken word shit. Because like, I don't know much. I think this would be more like an interlude, because it feels like an interlude. But still, it sounds pretty dope. And I can't wait for the rest of the album. Like, look at what guess he got here. He got not only Lynch, he got Solange, George Clinton, Terrell Wack, Anderson .Paak, Thundercat, Little Dragon, Shabazz Palaces, Toy Moy, Denzel Curry. Like, that's a fucking list that I'll come up with.
This is basically your year end list right here, man.
Yeah. And also he said features two songs in tribute to the late Mac Miller, which that's a split because you know him and Mac type. I'm looking more and more Flying Lotus. I said wait for Karen Tuesday. I'm getting too excited, and
we just got a month for this. 27 tracks of weird, insane Flying Lotus electronic goodness. And as for this one, this is several kinds of weird and creepy, and I dig it. Even if it is just one of an interlude track in between possibly more weird and creepy, funky tracks. And I'm going to have to give Your Dead another listen, because I have not heard that album in full in quite a while.
I need to listen to it.
Fantastic album.
Yeah, I'm ready for this one. Yeah, I need to get on. I need to go back on this catalog, man. I need to get the full Flying Lotus experience again, so prepare myself for Flamagra.
Mm-hmm.
Fire is indeed coming. Well, that takes care of all the new song discussion business, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we got a couple of news topics here, so stay tuned. And we're back. So, last time we talked about, you know, a little bit of a roundup of my experience at Record Store Day 2019, and so it makes sense that we still have the subject of vinyl fresh in our brains. And how could you not? Vinyl sales have pretty much been like one of the last substantial places of revenue for the music industry, you know, considering it's pretty much that, streaming, and... well, let's be honest, how else are they making any money? Selling CDs?
Damn.
But anyway, with the vinyl, you know, popularity still pretty consistent and on the rise, people are, of course, taking advantage of this any way they can, including one of the most popular online music distribution platforms, Bandcamp. We all know Bandcamp, right? It's a pretty cool place. You can just surf through there, find albums that you're looking for, You know, sometimes you can pay what you want. Other times you pay what the artist is asking for because you're a human being with decency. And, you know, motherfuckers got to eat. But, yeah. You know, Bandcamp is making some pretty steady moves. You know, they've got a pretty consistent, you know, music blogging outlet now. They recently opened up a physical store location, I believe, in California somewhere. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's in California. And now they're apparently getting in on a new initiative to provide, you know, vinyl records for unsigned acts and, you know, the consumers. So they're basically, they announced it this past week that they're working on a new vinyl pressing surface to streamline a lot of the, you know, production necessities of getting out vinyls to people. So basically, like, how it works is that an artist or a label can basically create, like, you know, a sort of mini crowdfunding campaign for whatever record they want to get turned into a vinyl. So, you know, they set up their goals, reach out to their fan base, and, you know, once they reach, like, a minimum goal, they will press the records, Bandcamp will press the records, and then ship them to all the fans that ordered. It basically, you know, it, like, cuts out the middleman and all that, so any fans that are looking for vinyl can just, like, you know, get it from themselves. And from what it sounds like, there's already been, like, a few artists that have taken advantage. They take a decent advantage of it. Listed here in the Bandcamp daily page, we got Christian Scott Atunde Ajua, Jim Guthrie, Juliet Jade, and apparently an Australian black metal act named Mesarthim, who I'm going to assume are possibly not Nazis. Please let my fingers cross be right. But yeah, so they're already getting this out there, and apparently it looks like there's a certain level of customization that acts can have over the vinyl. You know, it could be pure black, it could be color, there could be unique color splatter designs and whatnot. So what I'm curious is how exactly this works in terms of, like, the design aspect. So do they have, like, I'm guessing preset templates, like, okay, you can do this color scheme, you could do these designs, you could do maybe, like, half and half if I want to do something like, I don't know, red and blue vinyl, you know, half and half on the same record. There's a lot that I'm curious about with this, and, you know, it's obviously going to open up later in the year, but it's pretty much like, you know, there's moves being made, and this could be a really great step in people getting their music out there, and more importantly, being able to get some fucking money.
Mm-hmm. Yup.
So, yeah, good news for Bandcamp and those bands, but time to move on to bad news to a certain other thing that's apparently going on. Yep, you thought we were done with this, but apparently we have to once again talk about Woodstock 50. And not because of any lineup changes, at least not in whole. Yeah, so today, the day that we are recording this, 2 days after, 2 days after is when you're listening to this, is Earth Day. Hence why we got that fuck awful song, which we will not name. And apparently the you know, promoters and organizers of Woodstock 50 wanted to actually have the ticket sales going on today. But they have postponed it indefinitely because there appear to be lots of problems. And Alex, since you are someone who understands the logistics of this stuff better than I do, you probably seem like the best person to handle this. Would you like the floor?
Sure. So, Woodstock 50, scheduled to take place at Watkins Glen Speedway in upstate New York. We all know that. For some reason, the tickets weren't on sale. There have been some reports coming out along the lines of they don't have the proper permits for the location, which is kind of one of the first things you do when you're organizing a festival, just saying,
oh.
Yeah, that's a possibility. But fear not, for Michael Lang, the head in charge of this whole shindig, is saying, nope, it's all rumors, don't worry. Quoting him directly, Woodstock is a phenomenon that for 50 years has drawn attention to its principles and also the rumors that could be attached to that attention. Yeah, you know, the rumors of your tickets not going on sale when they were supposed to. Like, okay, I'm going to go to the website right now. I'm going to tell you what I see here. Let's see. Tickets, okay. Tickets on sale soon. Subscribe below for updates. This is supposed to happen in 4 months.
Oh, dear.
Well, shit.
And it looks like they won't have as much of an attendance as they were expecting. They were planning to have 100,000 people show up. It looks like there might be a maximum of 75,000 because of, you know, logistics and all that kind of stuff. So far, this is still very early on. We don't have a whole lot to say going forward. We'll have to say next time, kids. But the organizers are insisting that the festival will not be canceled, at least not yet. But when your ticket sale is delayed and your festival is less than 4 months away, that could be a problem.
Not to mention, I'm pretty sure the Black Keys dropped due to scheduling conflicts.
Yes, they have.
Oh, and I think you missed the golden quote in this piece. This is my favorite part. An agent representing one of the acts booked for the event is quoted as saying, "No one knows what the hell is going on, but there is clearly a problem."
Oh boy.
You don't say.
You know, the last time I heard a quote like that precede a musical festival disaster, let's just do it and be legends, man. Fire Festival 2017.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so, get your permits, people. Get your friggin' permits. Then you can go ahead with your grand festival plans, you idiots.
It's just, how do you... I just don't know. Like, how do you arrange all this without even a location? Like, what the fuck?
Yep, this is just... Well, I mean, did we expect anything less from Woodstock in 2019?
I mean... After Woodstock 99, I figured you would have to learn something. But this is like trying to book WrestleMania without like a stadium location. That's just a logistical nightmare.
Yeah. The thing is, cities are smart enough to put in bids and they announce it a year in advance. But as for the big wig running this whole thing, and Common, y'all done goofed. So, time is ticking. Either shit or get off the pot, as one Dante Hicks would say.
Yeah. So, gonna be fun to look forward to.
Why got a feeling in four months, hear about people eating bum-ass sauce and cheese sandwiches? Although...
Oh, boy.
Oh man, I sincerely hope this becomes the next great Decibel Boost multi-part saga epic. We need that, man.
Sort of brewing that way, but I guess we'll find out when the whole thing progresses. And let for the sake of public safety, let's just hope there aren't any fires or, you know, mass calamities like last time.
Indeed.
Yeah, that.
Anyway, that takes care of the news topics proper, so now to take care of the last official piece of business, and that's the new album releases for April 26th, 2019. Starting off at the top, we have the newest album from The Damned Things with High Crimes, the much-anticipated new album from drone metal act Sun with Life Metal, we have the new album from King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard with Fishing for Fishies. We have the newest album by one half of the musical acts behind the 1990s hit Smooth, originally by Carlos Santana, featuring Rob Thomas with Chiptooth Smile. We have the newest project from Schoolboy Q, finally announcing that new album with Crash Talk, which sadly is not a concept album all about the videos of Mr. Crash Thompson. We have the new album from Pink with Hurts to Be Human. And that's 2B is in the number and the letter B, although apparently it's not a concept album about Near Automata, unlike BT Bam's Automata. We have the newest album from a Spectrum Pulse's favorite band, AJR, with Neo Theater.
Oh boy, that's gonna be a bad review. As in hilarious review.
Hilarious for us, that is. And last but certainly not least, as previously mentioned, a whole bunch of artists doing For the Throne songs and music inspired by HBO's Game of Thrones. And now we just have to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, the name is Aura of Azure, where I am currently invested in a lot of hockey right now. Not so much basketball. Every now and then I'll chime in, but yeah, playoff hockey is my jam. It's fun. It's also fun to watch guys beat the crap out of each other on the ice. We need more of that in basketball.
Mark, what about you?
As usual, on Twitter, Max Epic Media, my site, mindhotter1@1networkpress.com, and of course, as I said before, Trap Game doing weekly episodes. Episode 3 is up. Episode 4 coming up. Got a review of that one anime I bought. I buy stuff for $3.14 because it was Pi Day. It was cheap and yeah, well released. For at least I got what it's worth.
And as for me, you can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and CuriousCat at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by weekend on the official, YouTube channel. So subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're notified when new stuff goes up there. Follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit us at SurrealResolution.com where you can find written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all the good business. Be sure to jump into our Discord channel so you can celebrate the birthday of our Lord and Savior, Shrek. Nothing but respect for my president. And last but certainly not least, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. So thank you for joining us this week. We'll, of course, be back next week. And until next time, I'm pretty sure Lil Dicky's awful song is why I'm sick in the first place. I blame you, sir. You're the real HPV.